transmission.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. And, well, hope everyone's enjoying their Easter weekend. It's been an interesting old night. Jeez, that rain was heavy last night. So, well, we've got a big, good show on today. Big weekend of sports, and of course, big thing is Auckland Club Rugby. For me, starts on Saturday. I'll be going down to Gribblehurst Park to watch my beloved Eden play. Anyway, before we start off with the Super Rugby segment, this segment is brought to you by Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street, west in the Auckland CBD, opposite the iconic Civic Theatre. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap, a selection of bottle beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food, and music Wednesday through to Saturday night. So their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Anyway, here to talk to us, as he does every Saturday, former All Black AJ Whetton. Good morning, AJ. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Peter. Yeah, a bit gloomy today, and obviously we got a bit of a hammering last night. That rain, jeepers, yeah. She came in for burst at about 2:30. It woke Mr. and Mrs. Whetton up, and we just had a look around the house. All good, but hopefully some of those people out there got away without being too submerged in water.
Yeah, well, that was it too. Anyway, just before we start off, what did it get up to yesterday?
Oh, no, we had a bit of a hoolie here at home. We just
had some
good friends over, and Mrs. Wheaton invited some people over just around the hood. And I would have invited you, but we had a height restriction of 5'6". And
I'm going to say this right now. I'm very hurt. I'm very, very hurt, AJ.
We had a meeting either, mate. It was great. Bit of music and Easter. And good to get some people around. It was just good to
I'm going to say those people are probably, who are listening today in your area, are probably thinking, why didn't they invite that Joker Piggy? He would have brought life. You know, I would have brought life to the party. I would have brought a bit of humour.
He could have been our Easter Bunny. We needed someone who would fight around here, and that was from Mrs. Whetton. He's very quick.
I was going to send her. I was going to actually talk her up. What a lovely lady! I was talking to her the other day, but now that's all out the door. But yeah. So you know, you have parties. I invite you to a lot of stuff, but you ponder, you fluff around, and all of a sudden you can't make it at the last minute. Anyway, enough talking about parties, and which I wasn't invited to, you know. But we might as well get on to it. Big game last night, Crusaders 25, Blues 22, a hell of a match. It swung in every direction. But the big thing is, the Crusaders, they would have the best front row in this competition by far.
Yeah, they certainly came away with it in the end. A pretty intriguing game. I obviously entertaining here. I saw package of it. The Blues probably think this one got away again, which seems to be how their season's travelling. Certainly looked a wee bit out of it in that first half or first 50, 60 minutes, but they came back strong. I think Hoskins the 2-2, best game of the season, no doubt about that. Can show it just applies himself and concentrates. He's certainly got the goods. But their front row, you know, we're talking about
Taylor and Williams and Newell just certainly put the pressure on. They knew that's where their weak link was, the chink in the armour, and they exploited that in the last 5 minutes, two penalties, and that man, James O'Connor, well, he was worth every dollar they invested in him because he slotted two penalty goals to win the match.
He's been the buy of the season, as far as I'm concerned, out of the franchises. Like, when he was first signed, I felt it was a step backwards, but they brought him there for a reason. His experience, his calm under pressure, and believe me, he's added to that Crusaders backline. So
good reason.
Yeah, are you doing some cleaning up around the house after the party? Are you?
No, I've been out. No, we tidied up. Always tidy up. Last night.
Yeah, sounds like it was a good party. Anyway, so where do you think the Blues still can make the playoffs? And I think they're definitely a playoff side. In the last couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, they've turned it round.
Well, I think we'll have to wait and see. I mean, possibly those early losses where they could have turned those round to wins may hurt them, but we just talked briefly off here about their run-in. You know, they've got the Force coming up, they've got the Reds first, but that's going to be an indicative of where they are. If they can win one game away like that, that'll put them on the road. But lose that, and I think there'll be start to be a question mark. They got the Force, they got Moana Pacifica, Fiji drew away, and then the Tars are by. So not the hardest run home, but boy, every game must be in the win column from my point of view, just not only to get them into the six, but to give them the confidence going into the semi-final period.
Absolutely. Anyway, we look on to the games on Saturday. It's big Saturday, starting off the Drua versus the Waratahs. The Waratahs have had a bit of form with that win over the Chiefs last week in Sydney, but different proposition, the Drua in Fiji, aren't they?
Yeah, and really coming to crunch time. I know Glenn Jackson's made quite a few changes. Again, you know, the game getting away from them. They had a bit of a getting smashed around last week. So playing at home there in Churchill Park, Lautoka, different kettle of fish, we know. But they need to get a win at home. The Tars, of course, coming away from their extraordinary win against the Chiefs. So they'll be pretty buoyant. Let's hope they'll come down from the high because they'll need all the goodies in the bag to beat Fiji Drew at home.
And, of course, a 4:35 game at Navigator Home Stadium in Pukekohe. And it is Moana Pacifica versus the Brumbies. I think this is a big game for Moana. They really need this win to at least stay in touch of playoff contention.
Yeah, and playing at home after their win, they got certainly beaten up a bit against the Blues last week at Eden Park. No one's disagreeing with that. So back at Navigation Homes, as we said, the weather, that track, it could be a heavy, as they say, in racing terms. So they're going to have to slog it out in the forwards, a few up and unders. I don't know what the conditions will be at that time for running rugby, but that's where the Brumbies possibly come to the fore. Very experienced. They're very forward-orientated side at times. So big front row there. They've got experience in Alatoa Lonergan and Van Neck. You know, the big second row, Hooper and Frost. I'm expecting big games from them, forward-orientated. But Moana Pacific, can they get up and beat the Brumbies? It's a tight one. I'll give it to the Brumbies, sadly. Just think they've got too much IP there.
Yeah, I think you might be right on that one. Of course, then we have the Chiefs versus the Highlanders. Now, the Chiefs will be hurting after that loss in Sydney. And, you know, the Highlanders, they've been competitive. They've been there or thereabouts. But I think, you know, I can't see the Highlanders making the playoffs. But the Chiefs, I think it's their time. They really need to put, they really need a complete performance because at the moment I can see, if they're not careful, I can see the Crusaders getting away from them. Also, I can see the Reds getting away from them as well.
Yeah, this is a tough thing. Both coming off losses, the Chiefs, of course, they'll be hurting, but playing at home, and I expect them to win at home. Highlanders, Jamie Jokers might be pulling his hair out a bit. I mean, he, you know, had a couple of good games to start, but they've just lost their momentum at the moment. So it will come down to who's the smartest on the day. You know, they've got some good forwards of Highlanders. You know, got Ethan de Groot in the front row there, Dunshear in the second. Good loose forwards led by Renton, so at number 8. So you'll see a lot of him off the back of the scrum, I'm assuming. But no, the Chiefs at home,
McKenzie, I'm expecting a lot better performance, a lot more leadership in directing that back line to Pierre Arona, Narawa. They've got some talent. Is the ball going to be out there enough? Well, we'll wait and see. But up front, yeah, you've got a good front row there. And Vai and Arcoy, good second rowers. It's going to be a battle, no doubt about it. But, yeah, 12, 15 points to the Chiefs.
Then we go to the game in Perth, the later game at the later time, and of course the Hurricanes. They've had a very indifferent season. Now they, according to the TAB, they come in as favourites, but the Western Force in Perth, they're just too strong. I cannot see the Hurricanes beating the Force.
Well, that's a good call, a big call there. I know just a couple of changes to either side. I think Brad Shields comes on to number six, which I think is his preferred position. So looking for a big one from him. But the Force at home have been going really well. And as we always said, you've got that little combination at half and first, 9 and 10, Nick White and Noel Donaldson. At home, they've become a different beast. So tough one here, the Hurricanes. Not having any consistency, Craig Laylor must be thinking, how the hell can I just get two or three wins in a row with the side they've got on paper, which looks pretty good. So big performances up front, Lomax, Amua, Namuya, that's a big front row. Can they dominate? I think they will. I think this is a game that they're going to get stuck into the Force, and I'm expecting them to come away with a win, Peggy, and comfortably.
Ooh, that's a big call, AJ.
Yeah, well, they've got to start performing, and this is the match to do it.
Yeah, okay, so we'll just have a look at the... I'll just confirm the table. The Crusaders are leading on 32 points with 9 games played. The Chiefs are second on 27. The Brumbies on 23. The Reds on 23. Waratahs 21. And the Force 20. The Highlanders 7th on 17. Blues on 8th on 17. Hurricanes on 16. Moana Pacifica 15. And the bottom of the table, Fiji and Drua 7 points. So, well, it's still very, very close, and it's still very close to call for those top 6 places. But as the competition wears on, I believe we will work out who our top 4 is going to be in the next few weeks.
Yep, I think after this round, it'll be pretty consistent on the way through. I think it's the top 5 anyway, looking reasonably good to get through. It's just going to be that 6th spot where they'll be fighting it over Hurricanes, Blues, possibly 4. So, yep, it'll make for some entertaining footy, but you can't beat talent and consistency, and that's why you've got Crusaders and the Chiefs at the top of the table.
Absolutely. Well, what's the rest of the plans for the weekend, AJ?
We'll be taking it a bit easier today, of course. Another shindig on Sunday with all our other next tier of friends. So the first 100 we're here, the next 100 next, and of course you may make the next cut at the 254th.
You know, mate, I've got feelings.
No, we'll just quiet one today.
Yeah, somebody said to me once, have you got any morals? And I said, yeah, they're low, but they're very low morals, but they're still morals. So,
yeah, good on you. And then we need a dishwasher, so there may be some extra dollars in it for you. But
So it has become slave. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and then the big day on Tuesday with, of course, the funeral of Doc Mayhew, which will be extremely moving. So
I think that will be a very emotional day for a lot of people, and obviously good luck with that, mate.
But hopefully a good day too to celebrate, to have a couple and talk some great stories and a few laughs, because you need it, that's for sure.
You certainly do in times like that. Mate, you have a good Easter. Right. When are you having a party for Anzac Day?
we'll let you know when we do, buddy. We'll let you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, goodbye. Have a good weekend, AJ. Cheers, man. Bye. AJ Whitten. He does, yes, he's been winding me up about his party, but, you know, I'll get him back. Don't you worry about that. Anyway, next up we have Stephen Harris, and we're just going to talk a bit about regional rugby. I used to rule the world,
I used to own. Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king is dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key. Next the walls were closed on me. And I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand. To let me in, shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. We come to the Regional Rugby Wrap, and this is brought to you, Regional Club Rugby Wrap, and this is brought to you by Force Electrical. At Force Electrical, they have a team of experienced professionals dedicated to providing high quality electrical services for both residential and commercial clients. With over 10 years of experience, they pride themselves in being reliable and thorough and taking care and ensuring that their clients' needs are met in a timely and efficient manner. So give Force Electrical a call. Their number is 021 628 341, or you can email nick@forceelectrical.co.nz, and I can hopefully I'll catch up with old Brax this afternoon for a few cold lemonades and a bit of a chat at Gribblehurst Park. Anyway, here to join us as we start a beginning of an Easter weekend of some club rugby's been played, some isn't. Stephen Harris, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Always a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show, mate.
It's always a privilege and a pleasure to have you on, Stephen, mate. It's always, your knowledge is outstanding, and what you know about rugby, well, you're probably one of, I would call you a rugby freak with your knowledge, but yeah.
I'll take anything I can thrown at me at my age, mate.
Well, we're all getting older, Stephen. Believe me, I'm finding it hard. God. Anyway, we were going to kick it off with Northland Rugby, but that round was cancelled, so that will move to next weekend around Anzac Day. So it's a bit of the weather really inclement up north, so the wise decision by Northland Rugby was to cancel it. So, you know, it's a shame for those local clubs and everything, because usually on those days it becomes a great earner for the clubs on Good Fridays up there.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody, because they know they've got free weekend, everybody just gets them behind the clubs, and obviously all those games are scheduled for Thursday night, but want to be at the end of the day, and you want to make sure that people are safe and don't have to travel. And, I think they pretty much got more than their share of the April rainfall up in the far north. Although I've got to say, it's still really humid at the minute, which is seriously odd when you consider how far we are through April.
Absolutely, and I think this weather is going to be humid right up until May. So we did need the rain, but not that heavy. So, but you know what I mean? So that's the way it is, and obviously there's unexpected rainfall. My goodness, it's just been so, it was so heavy last night. So, yeah. Anyway, we move on to the North Harbour. And, of course, on Thursday, Helensville 22, Cumu 0. East Coast Bays on yesterday, 5, North Shore 23, Massey 65, Silverdale 17, and of course the big one, Northcote versus at Harvey, and they'll be playing at Harvey right field against Takapuna. Just some of your thoughts on those results.
Listen, first of all, congratulations to Helensville, and listen, I've got to give it up to somebody by the name of Dean Phillips, who's involved with the Helensville Rugby Club. He's done a lot of hard work to get that club, you know, back to where it was, but it's certainly trending upwards, if you know what I mean. So, and that's a pretty convincing win to travel to Kumeu and keep Kumeu to nil and take 22. So, well done to Helensville. Yeah, North Shore, well, they've definitely put a marker down, haven't they? Far too good. I got that wrong last week. They put Takapuna, it's been a while since Takapuna have been beaten by that sort of scoreline, 48-17. And listen, probably just a continuation of their form, far too good for East Coast Bays yesterday. Probably the weather yesterday afternoon, although it wasn't too bad in the 09 during the afternoon, just a bit windy, probably kept that scoreline down. And as expected, Massey just far too good for Silverdale, 65-17. Playing today, Northcote v Takapuna. Yeah, Northcote, they had the... They struggled last week to put Silverdale away, 34-28. They come away with the win. It's definitely a local derby, isn't it?
Yep.
And that Harvey Wright Field, boy, I'm not too sure what sort of condition that's going to be in, to be brutally honest, Amon. I don't know what it's like in this day and age. I think it's a little bit more sand-based, but, boy, there was a lot of overnight rain.
Oh, yeah.
Rain, so it could be a little bit puggy on... it could be a bit puggy on Harvey Wright, number one, this afternoon. Mate, I might just go for the home side, you know?
Yep, I think that's what I've put down on my list is Northcote. So, yeah, so no, I think that should be a good match. Auckland's women's rugby, no games this weekend, so we go to the men's competition now. This is a 10-team competition, and unlike previous years, there's basically, for teams, there's no place to hide because you don't have those easier games anymore because it's a closer competition. Now, I believe, what was it, Grammar Tech 43, Suburbs 12, and now Hadley Parks was playing for Grammar Tech, I see.
Yeah. Well, if Wales are looking for a couple of midfielders, there's Hadley Parks and Willis Halehulu, who is on the other side for Suburbs. I see Lalangi Visania was playing at fullback for Suburbs, so not a bad side. But gee, that's a pretty good scoreline. First up by Grammar Tech, I do believe they've had a pretty useful sort of start to the season. A couple of Northland players running around for them as well. Liam Helen Ems, their skipper, and of course I see Quinton Nicholas also stepped out for them as well. So they are a very, very strong side. So probably wasn't unexpected.
Yeah, I'm hearing that they're going to have retro jersey. They had a retro Grafton jersey. I believe that they're going to... Now, there's 9 games during these rounds, so with the amount of clubs Grammar's amalgamated with, I think they can find 9 different colour jerseys.
Boy, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble, mate. Oh,
do I care? No.
No. When have you ever cared? I don't think you have.
Anyway, move on because I think we're going to get ourselves in a bit of shock here. Varsity 12, College Rifle 7, a closer game there. And, of course, Pakuranga versus your mob, who I don't think look that bad, 12, Waitemata 10.
Yeah, ironically, that was the halftime score as well. So I don't know what happened in the second half. They obviously played a lot of the game between the 25s, mate, because, 12-10, not a bad performance. First up from Waitemata, I expected Pakuranga out on their patch to be far too strong, but listen, good to see the improvement in this Waitemata side. We think back to last year and things ended pretty badly towards the end of the year. It's fair to say they switched off, but well done to Pakuranga getting that first up win at home. Those home games are going to be real important, as we've seen by these first three results.
Anyway, we move to the two Saturday games. Marist versus Ponsonby. That's definitely the game of the round on paper, but my game of the round is going to be Eden versus Papatoa at the wonderful Gribblehurst Park, 225 Sandringham Road. Get down there, watch some quality rugby and buy some raffle tickets and bring cash. Anyway, now we'll start off with Marist versus Ponsonby. Now, in all fairness, and, you know, we love it. Marist, Ponsonby, Grammar, they are probably the three that could be the favourites to take this title out.
Absolutely, boy. Ponsonby have been really impressive in sort of pre-season footy, and if you basically look at the scale of some of the players they've actually got in their playing 15, I think Peyton Spencer's lining up at fullback today. William Talatana-Mu, who has played for Southland at second five. Terrell Paper is at number eight. Pele Cowley, Samoan international. It's fair to say they are stacked. So a big job ahead of Doug Seth and his Marist team this afternoon. Even though Ponsonby travelling to the Mount Wellington War Memorial, I think the visitors will be too strong.
Anyway, just the next game, and it is going to be a bit of emotional. It's, you know, first game of the season at Gribblehurst Park, and it's going to be tinged with obviously a bit of sadness and a bit of emotion, but, you know, I'm hoping our boys can come through. It's going to be hard to bounce back after what has happened in the past 6 months, and I'm really hoping that, you know, I'm picking us to win. Just your thoughts, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what the condition of the ground is going to be like, especially after that overnight rain, Amon. Obviously, it's probably going to be a bit heavy underfoot, which probably brings that, you know, Papatoetoe always rocks up with a big pack. I reckon it's going to be a bit of a grind, but I think with a bit of emotion for a lot of the Eden players, and of course the Storks and your club like yourself, I think the home side gets the job done, but just.
Absolutely, and of course, Counties Manukau, Karaka 43, Bombay 5, no real surprises there. Padamahoe versus Ardmore Marist, Pukekohe versus Papakura. I think these two matches are so easy to pick. Ardmore Marist has made improvements, but at the end of the day, I think Padamahoe just too much class, and Puke probably just way too much class for Papakura, who I can see struggling this year.
Listen, it's great to see Ardmore being way, way competitive. You know, if you you look through their first few games, it feels like Papakura and Ardmore have pretty much swapped as the cellar dwellers. But, you know, for me, Ardmore, they're playing their third. This will be their third game of the season, and it's great to see the improvement. But Putumahoe, I think, will be far too strong, and I think Pukekohe, who it's fair to say struggled a little bit with Ardmore Marist last week, I think they'll be too strong. They'll be too strong for Papakura.
Absolutely, and just one thing. Thursday night we had a look at the two Super Rugby Picky Champions, the Blues Women's versus the Super Rugby W Champions, the New South Wales Waratahs. Blues Women's just too good, and does show the gap is still there. Braxton Sorensen McGee, I think, is possibly, we are looking at possibly the biggest sensation in world women's rugby, along with Georgia Miller.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a little bit guarded though with Braxton. Listen, we've seen her running game, but I don't know if we've ever seen her sort of under real pressure. And I guess we won't see that if she is selected for the Black Ferns. We'll see that at another level. But boy, give yourself an uppercut, Steve. She's 18 years old, for crying out loud. You know, boy, she definitely knows how to finish. I think for me, the Blues looked like they were stuck in second or third gear throughout this game, and pretty much did what they had to do. I think had this been, I think the weather was a great leveler.
Mm,
I think it levelled it out a bit. The Blues made a whole stack of handling errors, and if they had basically, if those passes had connected, the score could have been double, or if it had been in dry conditions, it could have been a lot more. Listen, credit to the Waratahs. They were down 19-0 at halftime. That could have gone ugly, and they basically stayed in the fight. But I think the difference was just the physicality of the Blues team. They were always able to get game line through their big pack, and I think it's something that the Waratahs hadn't experienced before. I know a lot of talk about having a crossover Super Rugby competition with the Australian teams, but I would suggest there's still a heck of a lot of work to do. Maybe if you sort of had the Poa playing the Waratahs, and I mean this respectfully, you might have actually got a reasonably closer contest. But you can see the skills in this Waratahs team. But on saying that, listen, only playing each other all the time will make a heck of a difference. I'm going to say, Portia Woodman Whitcliffe, boy, if she's not been considered for the Black Ferns, I would be very, very surprised. And I'll tell you what, my favourite player is in her first season, Tofa Bason. Wow, is she some player? She's just added, in my opinion, she's added her name to the mix as maybe a backup seven to the Black Ferns captain who plays for Waikato, and her name escapes me at the moment. I do apologise. She was known as Kennedy Simon, but she got free. Apologise for that.
Sorry, Steve, you're breaking up, mate.
A lot of depth,
yep, it is. Anyway, Mr. Harris, you have a wonderful day. You'll probably be heading out watching a bit of club rugby or on the couch watching a bit of rugby, because there's a lot of rugby to watch at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You started last night, and gee, don't let bad weather deter what sometimes you can see a brilliant game of footy as we saw last night.
Fantastic. In those conditions, that would be, both teams played superb. Anyways, young man, we'll catch up again next week.
Okay, awesome.
Cheers, thanks a lot. Cheers. Anyway, that was Stephen Harris with our regional club rugby wrap, and of course he also was an expert on Super Rugby Aupiki. Next up, we're going to speak to Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League as we look at the NRL weekend ahead and the games played. There is no games in Auckland Club Rugby League this weekend, so let's play a bit of music.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. See, diving round the clock, bikini bottoms, lager toes. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. We got two in the front, two in the back, sailing along, and we don't look back. Man.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM. And as we head towards Rugby League, this is brought to you by Douglas Drainage Limited. Every problem has a solution. All solutions have a cost. Minimise the cost with information and technology. Provided information, provided with technology and research. That's what they do at Douglas Drainage. Their number is 0274 838 373, or you can email them Diggins, diggin.co.nz. Anyway, we head into it, and as we do every Saturday, please welcome from Auckland Rugby League, Joey Green. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning. I was hoping for a little bit of better weather on Easter weekend, but obviously we're stuck with what we've got at the moment, but still good enough weather for rugby league, as we'll get chatting about in a wee bit.
Yeah, well, I have to say, it's either one or the other. It's either really fantastic or it turns to crap pretty quickly on around Easter time, Joey. Anyway, just before we get into the results that have already been played, let's preview this Warriors-Broncos match. Rocco Berry is out, Adam Pompey's 100th game. This, really, the Warriors at home, they're playing a red-hot Broncos side at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different challenge for the Warriors tonight. You know, playing at home, albeit in some pretty ugly weather, to be blunt about it, against the Broncos side, who, when we saw them, at the start of the season, we thought, the Broncos of old are back. You know, they're going to be premiership contenders. But then, from then, they've kind of been a bit up and down. You know, they went down to the Raiders, then they won three in a row, then they lose to out of form Roosters side last week, so it's really weird to see how this Broncos side is going to front up coming over to a bit colder weather than I'm supposing what they're used to. But for the Warriors, it's going to be they're going to need to have a massive bounce back after what we saw last week in Melbourne. No James Fisher-Harris, so Jackson Ford moving into the starting lineup, and hopefully we see Leka Halasima get his first start in first grade. So really interesting to see how he goes. But I think probably the biggest talking point is Kurt Capel in the centre. So I don't know if that was the right move, especially when they've got centres like Katoni Staggs and Gemet Shibasaki who've been lighting up the comp to start the season. Going to be interesting to see how he shapes up defensively.
Absolutely. And, when we look at this, really, we saw last week the difference between the top two or three and the rest. And, the Raiders were red hot against the Warriors last week.
Yeah, it was a really, tough challenge for the Warriors last week. Going to Melbourne is tough for any team. Let alone the Warriors, and obviously they haven't had the best of luck over the last 10 years or so. So I don't think much pundits were too surprised by Melbourne winning the way they did. I think it was more just Warriors fans hoping that they showed glimpses of what we saw in 2023. But hey, it's a new week, a new challenge for the Warriors this week. So hopefully, at home in front of their faithful with a supposed to be a sold-out crowd, hopefully they can get the boys home tonight.
Absolutely. Anyway, we move on to the Thursday night game, Dragons 20, Seagulls 18. A bit of a surprise here, but you know what? The Dragons have really brought well with Val Holmes, but Clint Gufferson, he really shows that experience at the back and that leadership. Lehi Hopewate, an outstanding footballer, but Clint Gufferson's leadership during that match was just fantastic.
Yeah, I think these are those couple of purchases for the Dragons in the offseason are really starting to pay dividends. So, the Dragons just look like a really gutsy side, and I think that comes down to the type of player and leader that Clint Gufferson is. Just the effort area seems to be a lot better than what they were last year. Val Holmes seems to be rediscovering his form as of late. And a lot of the young guys are starting to stand up for the Dragons as well. You see Dylan Egan, who hasn't even played a handful of NRL games yet, seems to be lighting up the back row. Hamish Stewart off the bench as well, and Jacob Little off the bench as well. It's probably not a role that he's been used to in recent seasons, but having a good rotation with Damien Cook at hooker as well, it seems to be what's working for them at the moment. And I'm liking the looks of this Dragon side, but I don't think Manly played bad by any means. It was just the Dragons just seemed to have wanted it more on Thursday night.
And, of course, yesterday, the early game, the Dogs of War, Bulldogs, 32. Rabbitohs, nil. I have to, Tupanua, I felt was fantastic. I think he's been a huge purchase by the Dogs. Josh Curran showing and Viviliama Kikau showing us the talent they've got. But then again, Matt Burton, that guy is just he's just a brilliant footballer.
Yeah, to be fair with the Bulldogs, I think this game probably should have been closer to 50 with, you know, a couple of tries that Matt Burton bombed. You know, maybe he just got a little bit too excited with the Easter Bunnies after, you know, after the way that the Bulldogs started this game. But credit to Canterbury Bankstown, just seemed to be going, you know, level to level, you know, as the competition goes on. And, you know, they add back in Matt Burton and Viliami Kikau, and they hold the Rabbitohs to scoreless. So, you know, a very tough Bulldog side. And as the weeks go by, I think, you know, we're going to be looking at seeing this Bulldog side in and around the top four for hopefully the rest of the season, because it's great to see the Dogs back on or near the top of the ladder. And if they can find, if they're going to keep playing consistent football like they are at the moment, then I think they're really going to start to challenge that, you know, the top sides like Melbourne.
Absolutely, and then we move on to the Dolphins 42, the Storm 22. The Hammer just put the hammer down and does what the Hammer does. But really, this combination of Katoa and Nikarima as a halves combination, Katoa really had a fantastic game and grew into it. Big Herbie, and of course, Nikarima having that experience, and then you've got guys like Big Herbie, Farmsworth, just causing, being menacing out in those centres.
Yeah, I suppose just as we talked about with, you know, the Bulldogs challenging, you know, sides, you know, top sides like Melbourne, the Dolphins rose to the challenge last night. And like you said, I kind of find it shocking that, you know, pre-season, you know, people were, I guess, calling for Cody Nikarima to not be in that sixth role. But, you know, the combination of him at Nikarima and Isaiah Katoa have, you know, when they're beating sides like Melbourne, you know, I don't see why that combination won't work for the rest of the season. Isaiah Katoa, that for a 21-year-old to be guiding a team around the way he does, when you've got guys in there like, you know, Tadua Fido and Herbie Farmworth in the centres who have been around the league a lot longer than what he has. You know, I think, you know, if Stacey Jones needs a halfback for the future, then he needs to do something about getting Katoa into that Kiwi side, because him and, imagine him and Jerome Hughes as, you know, your Kiwis halves pairing if he wants it. That could be a team that could win multiple World Cups. But, yeah, great win from the Dolphins. I don't think anyone would have seen this coming with how Melbourne started last night. I thought, you know, we were going to be talking about a massive Melbourne win like we did, or like we saw over the Warriors. But the Dolphins rising to the challenge and starting to find their feet in the competition now.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what? I just think if you've got that guy, the Hammer at fullback, mate, he's probably one of the most talented players in the NRL. Anyway, we move on. Obviously, we've spoken about the Warriors Broncos, the Roosters versus the Panthers. I'm going to be brutally honest, even though this is a game the Panthers need to come back in, because if they don't, they could be chasing their tails, but they are so talented. But I'm actually picking the Roosters in this one.
Yeah, I suppose when, you know, when lots of people would have been looking at this game in the preseason, and, you know, you probably would have expected these two sides to be somewhere near the top of the ladder. And I don't think many pundits would have seen these guys lying in 15th and 16th after 6 weeks of football, and especially see Penrith having lost five in a row. And I think if the Panthers are going to get a win any week, it's probably going to be or need to be this week, when the Roosters know Angus Crichton tonight, so that's going to be a big loss for them, but hopefully a big opportunity for a young guy like Salesi Fekete to get an opportunity to start. But I think, yeah, Penrith are really need to kind of start finding some consistency in the competition. Otherwise, you know, that the chase for five rings in a row might turn to a different kind of chase after the next couple of weeks for them.
Absolutely. And then we move to Sunday's games. Titans versus Raiders, Knights versus Sharks. Well, the Raiders, they've actually been one of the form, there's been a surprisingly quite a revelation in the Titans. You know, Des Hasler has really got, when you look at AJ Brimson, you look at their Haas combination, and you look at big David Fafita and big Timo, they are just, they look really good, but so do the Raiders when you've got guys like big Joe Tarpany just leading that pack around.
Yeah, a couple of teams who are really starting to find their feet now. The Titans, with their new combinations, I think their halves are actually starting to play some really good football at the moment. Obviously no one would have seen this coming 8 weeks ago in the preseason, but I think Jaden Campbell might have found himself a home in the 7 jersey alongside AJ Brimson. But this Raiders side, when we saw them in Vegas, we would have thought they were going to be the competition beaters, but then they had a couple of down weeks, but they really found themselves back on the up last week with a big one over a struggling Parramatta side. So it's still going to be tough for them to go to the Gold Coast on Sunday afternoon. It'll probably be some ridiculous amount of degrees compared to Canberra. So going to be a tough challenge, but I think Gold Coast might get a job done. I think their spine, like we've just touched on with Campbell, Brimson, and Sam Berrills as well, is really starting to play some good football again. You're adding Tino on top of that, and it sounds like a bit too tough of a task for Canberra, but if any team's going to go up to Gold Coast and get a win, it'll be this Canberra side.
Absolutely, and of course then we have the Knights versus the Sharks. Well, the Sharks come in as big favourites, and they have been playing some, football like this competition. There's been inconsistency by all teams. The Knights have had a good start, and they've got a great bit of talent. You look at it, like you've got Kalen Ponga, Gagai, Best. You have a look at, and you look at their forward pack with Thompson, Frizzell, Pierce, Paul, all those good players. And then you have a look at this side. Both these sides, I believe, this one could be the game of the round, and I'm going to go for the Sharks in this one.
Yeah, I think, like you kind of touched on it, this game would go any way. It could either be the best game of the round, just because both sides like playing high energy football, or it could either turn into a real error ridden game where fans are going to turn it off and look for something else to watch. The Knights have potential to challenge some of the top sides, like they showed a couple of weeks ago. They got a close win over the Tigers, and it was just through gutsy effort. But then last week they went down to the Tigers again, and then you look at Cronulla, who they put a big score on the Cowboys a few weeks back. They beat the Rabbitohs as well, who are the Rabbitohs aren't playing bad football at the moment. But then they go down to sides like the Bulldogs and Canberra, who were sitting in and around that top eight. So they've been around the top eight themselves, have Cronulla, and if they're going to want to stick in around that area, they're going to need a big performance tomorrow. But Newcastle on a Sunday arvo when it's packed out is always a tough challenge for any side to go to. And with the new halfback and Tyson Gamble in the night side, I think it's going to be at an extra level of pressure for the Knights to perform. But I think the Sharks will go up there, get a job done, and show their top four credentials.
Absolutely, in a cool. And, of course, the final game, the Tigers versus the Eels. Tigers, big favourites. With all the dramas that is going on at the Tigers, I think you cannot go past the Tigers. We'll get another one on this one.
It's always nice to see Monday night football back on Easter weekend. And there's been lots of drama around these two clubs. Obviously, the very high publicised drama of Lachlan Galvin, and then Parramatta having their own dramas, and Sean Lane pulling himself out for the next couple of weeks and weighing up his future. So a couple of clubs under a bit of strife at the moment out in Western Sydney, and Mitchell Moses back in Parramatta colours for his first hit out of the season. It's going to be a big addition for them, but I just don't think there's enough there for Parramatta to get a win over the Tigers tomorrow night, with obviously the Tigers having the extra pressure of the extra publicity through the week, and pressure on the coach and the club as a whole. I think West will just turn up with a bit more, I guess, hunger on Monday night for them to get the job done. And I think we're bound to see a big win from the Tigers here on Monday.
I think so too. I think it's be interesting. Mitch Moses will make a difference for the Eels, and will give Dylan Brown more space with the ball to you. So yeah. Anyway, Joey, you enjoy your Easter, mate, and we will catch up again next week.
Yeah, and happy Easter to everyone, and enjoy the long weekend, and we'll chat again next week.
Absolutely. Take care, man. That was Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. So next up, we're going to talk to Hamish McKay as we look at the sporting week.
Tumbling down in the city that we love. Grey clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? Tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? Do we begin the rubble or our sins? Oh,
where do we begin the rubble or our sins?
And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? Oh, how I'm beginning to be an optimist about this. How I'm beginning to be an optimist about this. If you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Well, guess what? Hamish not answering his phone, a little bit peeved about that, but I'm going to keep on trying him. He's obviously a busy, busy man, so I'll keep on trying him. If not, if I don't get anything in the next 5 to 6 minutes, I will go straight to Seamus Martin on football. So I will just play a bit more music and then we'll try and get to him.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They
say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. Carrying the weight of the world, but I only have two hands. Hope I get the chance to travel the world, but I don't have any plans. Wish that I could stay forever this young, not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone, and love is the prize. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I
Okay, everyone. Well, I haven't heard from Hamish Mackay, so I'm sorry, Hamish, if you call up in the next few minutes, I may not be able to pick it up because I've got a show to run and I've got to keep things moving because we have a certain time factor. Obviously, it's unlike Hamish. Usually, he's pretty damn good. He's usually pretty good. Obviously, something has cropped up fairly busy, but hey, that's the way it goes. So what I'm going to do next, I'm just going to play a bit of music, and then what we're going to do is then we're going to go to Seamus Martin a bit earlier than expected. So if we're all happy with that, we will just go for it right now.
Hey, brother, there's an endless road to rediscover. Hey, sister, know the water's sweet, but blood is thicker. Oh, if the sky comes falling down for you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do. Hey, brother, do you still believe in one another? Hey, sister, do you still
welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. Well, we get an opportunity to speak a lot longer with football, and of course, before we go any further, this spot is brought to you by Robert Thompson from Barfin and Thompson in the Epsom branch. Robert has a renowned reputation within the industry for delivering results. Also gives you his personal attention and his attention to detail, and his knowledge is absolutely outstanding. So if you're looking to sell, looking to buy, looking to get on that Auckland housing market, give Robert Thompson a call. His number is 021-737-949 or r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Anyway, let's get into it right now. And joining us online, he's back from the Solomons. You might know him. There's this little, I think it's a small podcast. Yeah, you might see on YouTube or some of the places called Between Two Bears. Actually, it's probably the best podcast in New Zealand, to be honest with you. But here to join us is the big guy himself, back from the Solomons, Seamus Martin. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Eamon. Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter, mate. And obviously, you know, I did listen in to your commentaries. Great job, by the way. And even though I was going on to people were defending, and Seamus is working hard, and I said he's sunbathing, he's drinking pina coladas and doing all sorts of stuff. But obviously, you worked your butt off there covering those games. And just looking at Auckland became Auckland victorious in the OFC Champions League final. But the big thing is, and I know Noel Barkley actually said it last week, he just said the gap between Auckland FC and the New Zealand teams to the other Oceania nations, the gap is really getting closer.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I think Auckland, they did it pretty comfortably up there. I mean, they didn't blow anyone away. They didn't win sort of 5-0, 6-0 as we've seen in the past. Look, I do think their quality is still a lot higher than the Pacific Island nations or the champion clubs from the Pacific Island nations, but I do think the advent of this professional league, however it takes shape or takes form, will really start to close that gap even further. I think the big difference that Auckland City had over the other teams up there in the Solomon Islands was the depth of their squad. I think the two teams that they played against in the semi-final and the final, they both relied heavily on a starting 11, a preferred 11, and they basically played that preferred 11 through the three group stage matches, and by the time it got to the knockout stages, they just had no legs left. Very good footballers individually, but they didn't have the depth to be able to rotate, whereas Paul Poser was able to put out basically a brand new 11 for his last group stage match against the Fijian champions Rewa, and I think that little edge just kept them a bit fresher than everybody else, plus the quality that they've got with players the likes of former All White Maya Bevan and you know, guys like Nico Boxall to be able to call on their experience. I mean, he had players, I think he had six or seven players in that squad of 18 with over 100 games for the club, and a guy like Ryan DeVries, who missed the first two group games, jetted in for the last game with 227 appearances. So plenty of experience, but also some good young ones coming through. I think David Yu was a good get from Christchurch United, if I'm not mistaken, from last year's National League, which is which is good. But I see they've dropped a couple of games in the Northern League, and I'm sure we'll get to that later on. But I think the travelling component of it, the amount of fixtures that they're staring down the barrel of this year, it's going to be a pretty long year, I think, for those Auckland City boys.
Well, Noel and I were looking last week, and he just said, "Are you sure that fixture's right? It was Auckland City versus West, because we thought it was." And I said, "You know what? We'll cross it out because I thought, you know, I'm going to bow to Noel's greater knowledge." And I thought, you know what, I'll probably bow to, you know, because he's the expert. And I crossed it out, and then I got text Noel, "Did you see that?" And he goes, "Yeah, because we were thinking, like, have they got a, obviously they put a second 11 against, or a second or third 11 against Western Springs last week. So it does show that the depth is in there. But anyway, let's start off the A-League. Last night, the Phoenix went down 3-2 to Adelaide. Glimpses of some great, Adelaide really started off like a hammer, but then the man who just scores all these wonderful goals in the A-League, Costa Barbarousis, and Isaac Hughes scored a goal, and then right at the death, Adelaide got the winner.
Yeah, a late night for me. I stayed up and watched that one. It was an odd game. I think the first 20 minutes or so, Adelaide looked like they could have put five on Wellington. They were 2-0 up. They hit the post. It really looked like there was only sort of one team in the match. And yeah, you're right. They clawed their way back in the Phoenix through Costa Barbarousis. He's a clinical finisher, isn't he? He just needed one chance in front of goal and just slotted it home. A real trademark goal from Costa. And then Isaac Hughes dragged them back into the game. And at 2-2 at half time, you thought, geez, this could go either way. And it was the Phoenix who came out the stronger in the second half. But absolute heartbreak at the death there to concede, you know, a late winner, which keeps Adelaide's hopes alive. Wellington Phoenix are long gone, but I think a battling point away, that would have been a nice way for them to start to wind down their season. I think there's still two matches to go in the A-League. And there's this fourth, I think there's this playoff in Darwin for an Australian Cup position if you finish in the bottom four that they're desperate to avoid because it extends their season by another 2 weeks. So, you know, off the pitch as well, Giancarlo Italiano, the talks around his future are still up in the air. I'm sure there's players that are coming off contract that are going to be wanting to know, you know, if there is going to be a change, who that new boss is that's coming in. So it's a bit of a messy end for Wellington. A last minute goal to concede like that is not the way to go. I don't like to point the fingers at people, but I think Oluwayemi, the goalkeeper, has not had a great season. I think, Albie Kelly-Heald, when he took over the gloves, looked a lot safer at the back, and I thought he could have done better for the second goal and also for the third goal as well. But did pull off a few top-class, world-class saves there as well, but just doesn't give you that real feeling of security at the back, in my mind.
Okay, then we move on to Auckland FC versus Melbourne Victory tonight at 7 o'clock in Melbourne. Melbourne come in as favourites. We looked at last week's game and went down early against Sydney FC, but then fought back to 2-2 right at the end, almost in a howler by the Sydney goalkeeper, and a back heel which just hit the post from Guillermo Mai. Really, this one, they really need this one. They really need to walk away with a point, at least a point minimum, but 3 points just to make it so much easier for that premiership plate.
Yeah, I missed last week's match through travelling, but you're right. I mean, a win there and results going the rest of their way, they could wrap up the Premier's plate by the end of this weekend. So it is a crucial fixture in that regard. Melbourne in fifth place, Auckland top of the league. Yeah, it does have the feel as if, I won't say the wheels have come off Auckland, but they've just got the wobbles, haven't they? That they were cruising towards that Premier's plate, and then they just haven't seemed to be able to put teams away in the last few weeks. And I think a draw will be a good result away, and it sets up a nice opportunity to secure the Premier's plate at home next weekend in their final home game of the regular season. But I'm sure Steve Corica will be wanting to get 3 points in the bag, hope the results go the rest of his way, and then he can shut up shop about talking about whether they're going to win the Premier's plate if they're going to finish top of the league going into those playoffs. So, look, I'm going to back Auckland to win this one over Melbourne, but I think it has the potential to be a bit of a banana skin. And if they do end up losing against the Victory, then that sets up a pretty good match for the home fans and the Port at Go Media Stadium next weekend too.
Absolutely, and of course, reading the Herald this morning, Michael Burgess. Now, there has been, this is where everyone's getting a little bit ahead of the game, but Michael Burgess, great journalist, great bloke, he's basically said this: it looks increasingly unlikely if Auckland FC was to host the A-League final, it would not be at Eden Park.
It would not be at Eden Park. Is that what Burgess is saying?
Yep. And he's pretty much on the go. When Michael, he doesn't get it wrong very often. But what they're saying is at this stage it's not likely that Eden Park will host it. That is a tale we all need to see. First of all, Auckland FC have to win the Premiership plate and they have to win their semi final. But I think there's more to come out of that story.
Yeah, I think there is too. I think Burgess could be right in the semi-final. I think we played at Go Media Stadium. I don't think there's any two ways about it. If they progress through, I think the conversation changes, because I think the appetite for people to support that team in a grand final or another finals match will be such that Eden Park becomes a viable option. What I don't know, and what Burgess will probably know better than me, is what other bookings there are at Eden Park. I think our friends at the Blues, they aren't going superb at the moment as well, but, you know, Eden Park's a sort of facility. I think when the All Whites played there, they had cricket on the Friday, they had a Blues game on the Saturday, and then they had the football on the Monday. So it can handle multiple sports. They can turn it around as and when they need to, and I think it would be a fitting location if they were to make a grand final or host a grand final.
I think it comes down to what the A-League want, and what the A-League want to see is a bigger stadium and packed out, and to see it. Now, they've even talked about moving it to Australia, even if Auckland City win it, which I think would be absolute disaster. But I really hope this gets resolved. And, you know, when you look at it, that grand final is set for Queen's birthday weekend. Wouldn't that be a magical Sunday, if it is at Eden Park or whether it's at Go Media Stadium for the weekend, for that Queen's birthday weekend?
Oh, it'd be superb, wouldn't it? I can't remember off the top of my head whether they've still got the deal where Sydney is hosting the final courtesy of Tourism New South Wales, regardless of who plays. But I think there's a very strong case that if it is Auckland that finish top with the Premier's plate and qualify for the grand final, they'd have a pretty strong argument to play it at home. And I get it's an Australian comp, and I get that they want as many bums on seats, but I don't think they'll get the bums on seats across the ditch if it is Auckland that are the favourites going into that final. But what a great problem to have.
I think Mr Foley has got a lot of influence there on the A-Leagues, and I think whatever he says will go. And whether it's at Mount Smart or whether they take it to Eden Park, I think that there's more to come out of the story. Just going through yesterday's results, Tauranga 3, Western Springs 0, Birkenhead 2, Auckland City 1, Bay Olympic 3, West Coast Rangers 0, Auckland FC Reserves 1, East Coast Base 2, Eastern Suburbs 2 versus Auckland United 1, bit of an upset, and Fencibles 2, Mangarewa 2. So, looking at the games in the Northern League come Monday, Easter Monday, West Coast Rangers versus Fencibles, Auckland City FC versus Bay Olympic, and East Coast Base versus Eastern Suburbs. Just your thoughts on those games.
Yeah, look, I think Rangers Fencibles is a pretty critical one already in this stage of the season. Fencies are doing well after being promoted from the Championship. Rangers down in 10th, starting to maybe look up and think it could be a long year. I think the new boys Fencies will get up in that one. I think Auckland City have lost 2 matches in a row. I don't think it'll be 3 in a row against Bay Olympic, although Bay Olympic are in 3rd spot at the moment and doing pretty well with their off-season signings. But I think Auckland City will win that one against Bayo at home. And then East Coast Bays against Eastern Suburbs. Well, Bays are a mid-table team. They'll be trying to fight off relegation. Suburbs sitting in 4th place off the back of that upset win, you should say, over Auckland United. I think that was Auckland United's first loss this season. So I think Eastern Suburbs coming into form at the right time will be too strong for East Coast Bays.
Okay, okay. The final three games for Monday: Mangarewa versus Auckland City FC Reserves, Tauranga versus Auckland United, Western Springs versus Birkenhead.
Yeah, that Rewa Auckland FC Reserves is already a relegation dogfight, or relegation for Rewa, knowing that Auckland FC can't drop out of that top division. So I think Auckland FC Reserves will sneak ahead of Mangarewa. I think Rewa, they only narrowly escaped relegation last year. I don't think they'll be able to escape it this year. I think they'll be rooted to the bottom of the table for the entire season. I think that that Tauranga Auckland United game, that bodes as the match of the round for me, and it's whoever's done the draws have done Auckland United a real disservice, because that's an absolute pain in the ass to try and get back from Tauranga at the end of an Easter weekend on Easter Monday. So I think Tauranga will be too strong there, and I think they could be a smoky for the top four. I think they're an outside chance. So I'm going to pick Auckland United to lose 2 games over Easter weekend. There you go.
Whoa.
That's a controversial one. And on paper, that Western Springs versus Birkenhead, if it was 12 months ago, that would be a really tasty one, but I think Birkenhead this season are going to be too strong for almost everybody. I think Birko will beat Western Springs there at Seddon Fields.
Absolutely. Then we move on just in the Northern League Women's. Obviously, there's a year again, Auckland United leading it. So on the 22nd, which is Tuesday, Fencibles will take on Auckland United. The games for the 25th, Anzac Day, Ellerslie versus Eastern Suburbs, West Coast Rangers versus Fencibles. Now, I think Auckland United, obviously, clear as day as anyone. Nothing. It'll all change in the next few years once Auckland City EFC have their women's team in, but and Auckland United will probably get rated. I think too good. Ellerslie versus Eastern Suburbs. Your thoughts, Seamus?
Yeah, I think Eastern Suburbs will win that one. I think they're a good side, Eastern Suburbs. They're a good club. I don't think, you know, last year they didn't have a great season. I think they're too good a club to have two wobbly seasons, so I think they'll be too strong for Ellerslie. And then I think West Coast Rangers versus Fencibles, is it? There's the other match. Well, there's a midweek game, Fencibles versus Auckland United, before Auckland United head off to the OFC Women's Champions League in Tahiti too. So, look, Auckland United for me are head and shoulders above everybody else in this league. They sign very well. I think they've already got maybe an informal partnership with Auckland FC around that women's program, and they'll be shuffling players into that team when it comes to fruition eventually in the A-League women. So yeah, for me, every time Auckland United start a match, they start as favourites. So I think on Tuesday, they'll be too strong for Fencibles, but Fencibles backing up against West Coast Rangers. I think Rangers are struggling a little bit as a club this year, and I think Fencies will be too strong for them on Anzac Day.
Okay, we move on to the EPL, and we start off, we'll do these the Saturday games: Brentford versus Brighton, West Ham versus Southampton, Everton versus Manchester City, Palace versus our Sugar Daddy Bills, AFC Bournemouth, and Aston Villa versus Newcastle, potentially the game of the Sunday morning. So we'll start off Brentford versus Brighton, Seamus.
Brentford versus Brighton, I'll go the Bees. I think Brentford for me. Brighton started strongly. I think that it's two mid-table teams slugging it out. I think they're both probably out of touch of European places now. There's no threat of relegation for either of these two teams. So I'll go with the home side, Brentford, on that one.
West Ham versus Southampton. Surely West Ham can beat Southampton.
Well, West Ham are 14 points out of the relegation zone. Southampton are gone. Look, I think Southampton have got nothing but pride to play for, but I think having already been relegated, it's just a foregone conclusion. West Ham at home for me.
Everton versus Manchester City now. I know you probably don't care now because you guys more or less won the league, but Everton, Man City. I think I'm actually going to go against all predictions, and I'm going to go with Bunnings sitting on the fence for 2 hours and 40 minutes, as we always do on the Sports Weekender. I'm going for a draw, Seamus.
I think Man City. They're only sitting 2 points behind Forest in fourth. I think they'll want to get back into those UEFA Champions League places. So I think Man City will win that one over Everton. And I've been tipping Everton before I went away every week, it seemed, with Moyes coming back in and that fairy tale. So I'm very happy to go back into my anti-Everton, my pro-Liverpool status. So I will back Manchester City for that one.
Very good. Okay, we keep moving. We go Palace versus AFC Sugar Daddy Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth still an outside chance, depending on how things go, to possibly play in football in the Europa Conference League. So I'm going to go for Bournemouth on this.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, I've got a soft spot for Bournemouth, given their connection to Auckland FC. So I'll tip Bournemouth to upset Palace at home.
Okay, then we go. This is a game, I think. I think it's game of the round, as far as I'm concerned. Aston Villa versus Newcastle. I think Newcastle are in such hot forms. Ever since they won that League Cup final, they have been absolutely fantastic. And I think they win against Aston Villa.
I agree with you. I think getting some silverware in the trophy cabinet is a real positive for Newcastle. And sitting in third spot, they're only 4 points behind Arsenal, and they're in hot form. Villa, I think the disappointment of losing in the Champions League quarterfinal might be a little hangover for them. So I can see Newcastle getting 3 points there and really putting some pressure on Arsenal.
Okay, so then we move to Monday, and we have four games. Ipswich versus Arsenal, Manchester United versus Wolves, Fulham versus Chelsea, and Liverpool versus Leicester. Ipswich, Arsenal, I think Arsenal just too good.
Agree, and while I say Newcastle will put pressure on Arsenal, I think they'll stay 4 points behind because Arsenal will beat Ipswich away from home, and that'll pretty much condemn Ipswich to relegation.
Okay, so we go Manchester United versus, you know, hot off that fantastic game, which you said nobody watches, 5-4, against Wolves. I'm picking a draw here.
Yeah, I don't mind a draw. I think consolidating after a wonderful night, the emotions will be high, and I think there'll be a natural lull after such an incredible game against Lyon, and I think a draw is a fair result between those two teams.
Fulham versus Chelsea, interesting match. Fulham still
very,
have...
Very interesting.
Yep. I'm picking a draw here.
I think so as well. I think Chelsea also found their way into the semi-finals of European competition this week, and I think they might have a little hangover. Fulham are a tough nut to crack, especially at Craven Cottage, so I think a draw is a fair one, if not a win to Fulham.
Okay, Liverpool, Leicester, well, yep, there you go. You're going to win that.
Do we need to talk about the result there? I think that's a foregone conclusion.
That's a foregone conclusion. And if everything goes your way, you'll secure the league, and, you know, we'll have a whole lot of people singing, "You never walk alone," and we'll never stop hearing about it for another 10 years until you win your next one. Anyway, we go to Tuesday, Spurs versus Nottingham Forest. Now, there has been one Australian James Bond, which was George Lazenby. Now we have another Australian Bond, Live Another Day, Big Ange. So and of course Nottingham Forest, they really need this. Chris Wood was back, but I think he was brought in too early. I think for Forest, this becomes very, very crucial.
Oh, this is an absolutely crucial match for Forest to maintain a loose grip that they've got on fourth place. I think Ange's full focus now will be on silverware in Europe, so I don't think he's in any risk of relegation. I don't think he minds if he drops points. I think that's probably that's loose lips from me, but I think Forest, there's far too much for them. They've also got an FA Cup semi-final coming up, don't forget, so they'll be wanting to maintain really positive form. I think, again, European hangover for Spurs, even though they've got longer break than Man United or Chelsea or Arsenal. I think Forest win that one, Wood off the bench maybe to score a winner.
Yeah, that'd be great, and be good for old Woodsy to score that. Anyway, young man, you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Great to have you back, and really, you know, we look forward to hopefully a win for Auckland FC, and as we look over that weekend, I know that you'll be with anticipation, possibly one more hand getting closer to winning that Premier's title at Liverpool.
Yeah, definitely. I think that'll be a nice one. After everything else that we bombed out of, it'll be good to get the Premier League locked away. Great to see Salah and Virgil van Dijk as well re-sign selfishly for Liverpool. And I will leave you with a little Easter egg hunt maybe for the future, but just watch the space on FC Hollywood, on Wrexham AFC.
Yeah, they're coming
down
over,
to Auckland.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a pre-season match. So don't know if that's been confirmed. I think it's still speculation. But, watch the space. Maybe Eden Park for an exhibition game.
I think maybe Eden Park. But, yeah, I think you can probably try and get those blokes on your podcasts.
I'll be giving it a good nudge. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, yeah. You still got Rachel's number? We can talk off here. Anyway, we'll leave you at that. You have a great Easter, Seamus.
Thanks, Eamon. You too.
Cheers. Anyway, Seamus Martin, brilliant. Next up, we've got to get your pens and paper out. We've got to do some Ellerslie races today.
Criticize, but how?
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender, and this racing segment is brought to you by Watersmart. Water weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants happy, all with our Watersmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries, different sizes to suit your property. So check us out today, watersmart.co.nz, and take control today. Anyway, let's get into it. Racing and big week, big meet at Ellerslie today. Here to join us, former editor of the Friday Flash and our racing expert, the Brown Iron Racing, Mike Brown. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Eamon. You wouldn't need to worry about a tank with the water at the moment.
Not after last night, no.
Yeah.
So this will make the track very, very heavy today.
Well, not so much at Ellerslie since they've redone it, but I think it's a soft six. They had about 50 mils of rain in the last 24 hours or so, but it could have been worse. But, hopefully it's not like it happens what happened last year when they called the last two races off. We missed having the Easter handicap, but I think we're right. It's a little bit overcast at the moment, but it should clear up a little bit.
Absolutely. So we start race one. Big favourite here is Ebenezer, but I'm actually looking at Nancy. She wrote, what's your picks for this one?
Well, I'm going with number 8, Gentian Blue. It's had two starts back from a semi-successful Aussie campaign. I just like the way it hit the line last time out at Ellerslie on April the 5th, over 1,500 metres. Steps up to 2,100 metres today. Jasmine Fawcett rides. It's around the $6 mark. I thought it represented good each way value in the first.
Okay, number 2, Riptech. And do you know what? My outsider I'm picking in this one is Gold Card.
Well, that's going to be a chance, but I am with Riptech, mainly because it opened up at $11 on Wednesday. And it's into $5.50. It's drawn one, George Rookhorn. The Sullivan Scott team's been going very well this season, and I think this horse has got a good record fresh and over 1,200 metres. So I'm with Riptech, mainly because of all the money that's gone on it.
Okay, race three, you have to go. You cannot. Glamour Tycoon, I think she's going to be too good on this one.
You think so. Gets a 2 kilo claim with Tristan Moodley riding, brings it down to 58 kilos. But one I followed all through last season was number 3, Rocker Baby, and I thought it might get a chance today fresh up around the $8 mark. That was my one for a bit of value in this.
Okay, so race 4, Stormfront, the big favourite, but I'm going for Lady Iris and as my outsider on this one.
Pretty impressive last time when it won Lady Iris, but I am with Stormfront. This horse, when it won its 2-year-old race last October at Ellerslie, it had won two trials on its air before that. Something must have gone amiss with it because it hasn't started since then, but with all the money on it and some of these horses yet to win a race, I thought Stormfront was very hard to beat.
Absolutely. So we go race 5. Moe Down is a big favourite, but I would say, and I know I've backed this horse before, I'm going for Oppenheimer.
I just the wide draw and hadn't run since February put me off him. I saw one at the trials the other day, number 13, Archipelago. It did plenty of work and won quite impressively. Michael McNabb rode it at the trials. He sticks with it today. I know it's got a wide draw, but it did come from the back when it won the trial. So around the $5.50 mark, I'll stay with number 13.
Okay. Number 6, The Weapon comes in as a big favourite in this one.
Yeah, and this is quite an even field. I went down the bottom, horsing off the ballot, number 17, Ever Charm. I just thought of Pukekohe, come from a long way back, covered ground around the home turn. It's a nice economical draw today. Lindsay Satherley's picked up the ride. So another one from the O'Sullivan Scott stable, $14, good each way chance.
Absolutely, I was looking at that as well too. Number 7, Kiwi Skyhawk, the big favourite, but I'm going for Bourbon Proof.
Stable mates, yeah, I was with Kiwi Skyhawk. His run in the Derby two starts back was very good. Covered extra ground and finished close up. Then he stamped that with a quite emphatic win at Trentham last time out. One at the gate. He's going to get economical run. He's going to be tough to beat here.
Okay, and of course, race 8, and of course, Tardelli comes in as the favourite, but I'm looking at Dr. Asken with Joe Doyle riding it.
Any question about Dr. Asken? Anyone was first time right-handed, and at Ellerslie, it could be quite tough for him, especially from a wide gate. I thought a horse way over the odds here was number 5, Wild Knight. He was quite impressive at Tauranga 4 starts back, winning, and then they took him over to Aussie. Went sort of okay, but he was racing in very strong company. Came back on 15th of March at Tauranga, around 4th, after missing the start and being the widest on the home turn and coming home strongly down the outside. The horse that won it was Waitak. He got a rails run, and has since come out and won again. I just saw Wild Knight around about the $16 mark. That represented very good value as well.
Absolutely. Sorry, while I'm sipping on my cold tea. So, yeah, number 9, race 9, Monet is the favourite. But I'm looking at, for that last race, what's the croupier?
Which one, sorry?
Number 5.
Croupier. You won at Trentham last week. He didn't look like he was going to win half the way down, but he got up in the last stride. I think he's heading to... Providing goes well today, he's off to a Brisbane campaign in the next couple of months. I'll go with number 2, Monday Melody. It's quite long, it's $4.80 the favourite, but his last two starts, he's run second, and they've been good efforts, and just covered a bit of extra ground. Got a tricky draw again, but maybe by the last, the outside mightn't be the worst place to be, so... if he doesn't win today, that's my last chance following him. Number 2, Monday.
So what's the plans for the rest of the weekend, Mike? Just sitting up watching Ellerslie today?
Yes, I'm a Warriors diehard, so out and brave the cold and watch them play the Broncos tonight.
I would say definitely you'll be braving it out there, and I hope you leave. I hope your racing picks goes well, because I think your racing picks will go a hell of a lot more better than trying to pick the Warriors over the Broncos, mate.
Well, I'll tell you what, to try to pick any NRL result at the moment is very hard. Look at the Storm last night getting thumped by it. They were leading 16-2 and getting beat 42-22. Very hard to pick, but. Well, I just take some solace out of the Warriors won the second half last week, so that might give us some chance.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's a good result for the Warriors. Mike, have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much, and we'll probably be speaking sometime soon, and we'll do another review at Ellerslie.
No problem. Thanks, Eamon.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. That was a Brown Iron Racing, Mike Brown. Okay, next up, we're going to go early to the panel. Lee Piper and the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield.
Are the stories that I can't explain. I leave my heart open, but it stays right here empty for days. She told me in the morning she don't feel the same about us in her bones. Seems to me that when I die, these words will be written on my stone. I'll be gone tonight. The ground beneath my feet is over wide. The way that I've been holding on too tight, with nothing in between. On these walls are the colors that I can't change.
leave my heart open, but it stays right here in its cage. I know that in the morning now, see us in the light upon the hill. Although I am broken, my heart is unchained still. And I'll be gone, gone tonight. Fire beneath my feet is burning bright. The way that I've been holding on so tight, with nothing in between.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. We go early to the fun part of the show, the interesting part of the show, the educational part of the show. The panel, online one, the mouth of the South. And if anyone wants to know what his community duties he does, he actually helps out his local rugby club. And before anyone thinks he's been a naughty boy, he hasn't. He's a great volunteer. Not a bad bloke either, Lee Piper.
Well, if this is the best part of the show, what was the show like before me and Summerfield? Come on, it was obviously
Average,
was it? Very fun, pretty boring.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what, it was A+. Probably the best. This is the best sports show this part of the morning. Well, you've only got a choice between two of us anyway, so it's between me and the other mob and Parnell. Anyway, joining us on line two, the guru of motorsports, a superb sports broadcaster, the silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield. Good morning.
Thank you very much. We're going to take what we get, Lee.
Well, I just get the mouth. I don't get any intro any week, and I turn up every week, despite the fact that I'm overseas. I'm always available.
I know. Well, you threatened not to come on my show if I didn't ring you up. And, you know, I'm no
longer... Hey, Eamon, stop. Lee, the best thing is, hey, Lee, would you love to be on my show? Please, baby, great to have you on there. It's really awesome. And then you come on and you get called the mouth of the South.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm no longer calling him the Donald Trump of Dunedin.
Well, yeah, thanks for that. Because that's way better.
Anyway, we'll kick it off with you, Sean. Well, a big weekend, Saudi Grand Prix for Liam Lawson. Is it make or break? And, of course, what a fantastic weekend it was in Taupo for the supercars. So you should kick it off there, Sean.
Yeah, look, it's interesting to say make or break it. Unfortunately, it does feel like that, the way it is with Red Bull. The fact is, I think Liam hasn't been going badly, but the problem is he hasn't been going as well as his teammate. And that's the bit that concerns me. If Hadjar is quicker and he's a true rookie, that's ominous. But we know Liam's had the pace. And he says he's not feeling the pressure, but, you know, how can you not be aware of what goes on? But look, we look at him last week. I think we saw some fire. He was really pushing his luck. He got those couple of penalties. Ironically, the wee touch he had with the Sauber was nothing compared to what we saw in the V8 to Taupo. I thought, oh man, Rubbing's round, not Rubbing's racing there. How do you keep up with it? But so I watched the pack from the Saudi Grand Prix. Liam was quick enough, but again, just off Hadjar, just off Tsunoda. But what's interesting is both Verstappen and Tsunoda are struggling with that Red Bull now. So Liam was clearly onto something there. But, in hindsight, if he'd just been in the Racing Bulls car from the start, would it have been a lot better for him? You could argue yes. But he has got to have a good race, because that shuts everyone up and stops being the topic. When you have people like Gasly, quickest in the first practice. What's interesting, though, you've got McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari, then Red Bull. I've looked at the average paces across the teams, That is the rankings on pace so far in Saudi. So, you know, and it's an interesting year because we have a new car next year. So that's sort of affecting the whole thing. So there's a lot of interesting things going on with it. And then you've got this other talk going on about Verstappen. Is he going to go to Mercedes? Is he going to go to Aston Martin? You know, and then you've got George Russell. And this is why the whole thing's fantastic. You've got George Russell, who's just quietly going about his business, and he's actually seen some pretty impressive times. So look out for him, because obviously Verstappen and Russell are not going to be together in the same team. And I don't think Mercedes would ever ditch Antonelli. You know, and if Verstappen went to Aston Martin, I mean, how long are they going to stick with Lance Stroll, who's one of the few guys who's making Liam Lawson look very quick at the moment? But it is fascinating. We're in a weird year. If you don't watch Formula One closely, they're going to a new car next year, a new chassis, a new power unit, where we talked about it last time, that we're going to have a more powerful engine electrical part of the hybrid. So it's going to do a lot more of the work, and so this year sort of that last year, and teams already developing that car. What effort do they put into this year? But you know, no matter what you say about next year, you can see how much this year matters at the moment. And the other fascinating thing too, and I'm not trying to avoid talking about Liam, is the Piastri Norris battle at McLaren. This is back to Senna and Prost, and you know, is Norris the Senna and Piastri the Prost? Because Piastri is so cool in that car. So, McLaren's my favourite team. That'll never change. Liam Lawson remains my favourite driver, and I really hope he has a good race in Saudi. Look, his pace has been okay. We saw him, scrapping a bit at the end of the race last week, but he's really got to make one stick, Eamon.
Absolutely, and of course.
Absolutely, and of course.
And of course, then when we went, I'm getting feedback. It's someone on loudspeaker. Is that you, Piper?
No, I'm just sitting here quietly.
I mean, if you're struggling, I'll just keep talking. Taupo last weekend.
Yeah, I was just going to go to that.
Yeah, that's sort of out of the topic. And we had Matt Payne, who's a fantastic driver. Actually, he's the reason Liam Lawson went into motorsport. They were mates growing up. He was karting. Liam started karting with him. So there you go. There's your look, and you see how these things happen. And for him to win the Jason Richards Trophy, which is huge. Jason was a good mate of mine. He's missed by so many people, including myself. And for a Kiwi to win that, and to follow McLaughlin and Van Gisbergen's shoes and winning that trophy is pretty awesome. Big weekend for the Fords. Kostecki was quick as well. Ryan Wood, the other young Kiwi, is a bit of a hot shot.
Mm-hmm.
He had a typical weekend, getting a bit of pollen now and then, but some good effort from them. What struck me as interesting is the magic seemed to disappear from Taupo straight away. Packed to the gunnels last year, exciting weekend. We had the Porsches there as well. This weekend, I don't know, it's just the excitement factor didn't seem to be there. It didn't seem to be the biggest show in town, and I'm worried between that and the Blues suddenly aren't the biggest show in town. You know, but I'm blaming the trains for that, Eamon. You don't get free trains with your tickets. It's a crap move by the Blues on that. I am concerned. There's talk now, Tony Quinn saying we should move the race around.
Because they're talking Ruapuna.
Yeah, but that's for a second race.
Mm, okay.
And
okay.
Now they're talking, should he come in there and own part of the track, old Tony Quinn, which I don't think, we can't have one person running all the big tracks in the country. But no, I a bit of a concern. The supercars, I think the issue's with supercars, and they need to work out what their relevance is. The truth is, it's not the cars. They don't make Camaros anymore. The Mustang's a niche product, and they've got to think, right, they've got to make it about the drivers, because that is why Formula One is flying. The drive to survive thing. Okay. As much as I like cars, it's about the drivers.
Okay, cheers for that, Sean.
Cheers for that, Sean.
Okay, Lee. This is Lee for Netball. there's still this issue with the TV deal for netball, and believe me, I've done some work on it. We were speaking the other day. Back in the day when netball was really at its high and had huge TV ratings, your number one was rugby union, your number two was cricket, your number three was netball, then you had rugby league and the other sports. I've just done a count. Rugby union, rugby league, cricket are your top three. Then you have football, then you have basketball, and believe me, motorsports, then you have netball for TV rights. It is concerning. And one of the concerns I've got is the lack of vision from New Zealand Netball. You're a former board member. You don't mince your words, so you go for it, Pipes.
Well, I'm surprised they're that high in the ratings, to be honest. Look, I think what's concerning is that they don't seem to append any TV deal. So it's not a reduced Sky deal. It doesn't look like there's a Sky TVNZ merger deal. It doesn't look like TVNZ have come to the party. TV3 definitely won't come to the party. So it's where are they going to go? And I don't know how hardballish Sky are playing. I hear fairly hardballish in that the deal is just nowhere near acceptable on any right scale. So it's going to be who blinks here. And the problem with all of these sports, Eamon, is where do they go? Like if Sky go, well, we're out. And TVNZ go, well, we're out. Where are they going? They're really going, okay, well, we're going to have to stream. Which, to be fair, basketball have kind of lived in this space a little bit in that they're kind of doing their own production, and you can tell the games that Sky are kind of producing and then the games that kind of Basketball New Zealand are producing. But, like, it's a bit like Sean there with the motorsport. You could talk on this all day. One, there's been no vision for 4 or 5 years on this, I think. You know, one of the challenges that netball's had, one of the criticisms it's had, is that it's run out the same product literally year after year after year and gone, well, we're still the top women's sport in New Zealand. There's a whole, the world is changing, and it's changed massively pre-COVID, post-COVID, and into this kind of new era, even in the last kind of 12 to 18 months. The way that we consume news, the way that we consume sport, and we've talked about this on the show, you know, the way that we consume content is completely different. What they've done is gone, no, and have kind of almost like buried their heads going, well, we'll just get the Sky deal and we'll kind of, look, if it was me and I was the CEO of Netball New Zealand, I would be flying to Australia and I would be sleeping at the door of Australia Netball to kind of come up with some kind of deal. The history to this, as you know, and we've kind of talked about it, is that when the Trans-Tasman League kicked off in 2007, New Zealand held all the power because New Zealand had the broadcast deal. So they had the deal with Sky, and Australian Netball at that stage were piggybacking off it. And also with Australian Netball, there was women's sport in Australia was way down the list. Like, this is just reality. They were way down the list. So there was kind of like AFL, NRL, even rugby union. Women's sport as an entity was way down the bottom. So their ability to, A, have kind of people involved in the sport that had a commercial play or even to get a broadcaster to get to the table was zero. But that quickly changed. Life changed and the emergence of women's sport came across all play. The problem that New Zealand Netball had was the moment that Australia got the deal done with a broadcast partner, they no longer needed New Zealand. And the other thing that they did was they opened the floodgates and said, okay, there's no, you can have as many international players as you want. They went to a super shot, so 2 points outside the circle, a wee bit like we see in Fast Five, but not to a 3-point shot, and not double, obviously, and the game evolved. And as we were talking about the other day, it's no coincidence that emerging nations like Jamaica and like England, to a degree South Africa, have come to the party and have been much more dominant and prevalent in international netball because they're playing in that competition. England in particular saw, okay, if we send our players down there, we're going to benefit from that. They did. They put a lot more money into their into netball in the UK, probably quadruple what New Zealand has, and so they've developed. Australia have a magnificent Suncorp Super League. So why would they want to come to New Zealand? Why would they look at New Zealand and say, that's a good play for us? So New Zealand's kind of left out in the dark here a little bit. And I'm not really sure where they go. I mean, they've got some options, but it depends how brave they want to be and where they go. Do they go back to Sky and say, look, we'll play it in the summer, so we'll do a bit like the A-League did. We'll be a summer competition, and then we'll allow our players to go to Australia. How determined are they going to be on the Grace Nowicki play? That's your premium player there. They could hide the likes of a Laura Langman and a Maria Tutaia under this sort of exemption because they had played so many tests for New Zealand. Can't do that with Grace Nowicki, so now it's a political play. Every single part of every sports person would go, just let her play. Just let her play. It's not like she's playing in England. She's playing across the ditch. It takes 3 hours to get there. It takes 3 hours to get from Auckland to Invercargill. So it's kind of the same thing. So they are, in my view, at a crossroads. They have yet to show in the public eye. They may be doing it behind. What is your vision? What is your strategy? Commercially, where are you going? And what is your kind of plan in the next 2 to 5 years? And who are you talking to? So I think all of that rolls into it's a very crossroads. It's sort of on a knife edge. It could go either way. I can't see. I just don't know where they're going to go. I've thought about it. I can't see what they can take to the broadcast deal to get it over the line. Remember that the broadcast deal pays the players. So each franchise, the broadcast deal gets divided by six, and that is basically the player pool. So each player, the salary cap is paid for out of the pool that Netball New Zealand, the deal that comes out of Sky. So if that's no longer there, then what happens? So where do the players get paid? And Netball New Zealand, I wouldn't think, is commercially strong enough to be able to basically write the check on that themselves without significant investment from elsewhere. So to wrap that up, I think the next kind of 2 to 3, 4 months are going to be extremely interesting in the life of Netball. And just to finalise on that, they bought a lot of this on themselves, Eamon. Like, we've seen the emergence, particularly of sports like Sevens, women's rugby, women's cricket,
women's football.
Women's football. We've seen all of these sports where Netball kind of had it by themselves. And when I went to school, even when Sean probably went to school as well, we had rugby or soccer, which we could call it, or you played cricket or softball. That was the only choice. And the girls played hockey or netball. That's it. Now they can do whatever they want. There's opportunities for them. I mean, you look at a girl, I think we've talked about this on the show before, young Kate Heffernan. She could play netball. She could play cricket. She was an outstanding cricketer. She could play IPL and earn $600,000 US. As opposed to her netball contract, which might be in the low, very low hundreds for New Zealand, if that. So you know, they have a lot more choice. But what netball hasn't done is they haven't moved their sport along as the evolution of women's sport has come. And they've just said, hey, we're still the leading New Zealand women's sport. That's it. Well, you don't get that right in 2025. You definitely don't get that right in 2030. So unless they make significant change now to make it a better product, both on and off the court, they're going to get in serious trouble.
I think they already are in serious trouble, because when you look at winter sports at the moment, participation rates, now netball can say what they want. women's football is the highest, one of the highest participating rate. Women's hockey is bounced over over netball. So, yeah, any thoughts on that, Sean? Sean? Hello? Hello, guys. Sean.
Sorry, I'm in here, mate.
Yeah, we keep on losing
you. Mate, no, that was me. My brain is absolutely bouncing after listening to that. A couple of things. Participation is different from public appeal. That's another thing as well. And your audience, because in the end, it's about eyes. I just want to touch on the whole, when Lee was talking about broadcast deals and that. Think of Sky as a department store, where people want to have their product in that store for people to come and buy. They know their power a little bit more, but that's where everything is. What's happening to our department stores in the world now? H&J Smith's down in the south, Smith & Coe's in Auckland.
Yep.
You know, they're disappearing, right? Then you've got the warehouses, which have a few brands people get in. That's like the free-to-air TV, but it's changing there, and it's maybe a lower level of sport, if you like. And this is what's happening there. What hasn't changed, so you've got where people watch it, that's different now. We're consuming, like Lee said, we're watching Netflix, we're watching stuff on demand and everything like that. What hasn't changed is what it actually takes to make a product look right on TV or on a computer or on a phone. That doesn't change, and that's what Lee mentioned about. You can tell the games that Basketball are trying to put together and the ones Sky are producing. The actual capture, the only thing that changes is how we consume it. And that's what I think even some of these sporting organisations, I've talked to some of them, they think they can, if it's streaming, it's cheap. It's not. That doesn't change. And it's expensive to do. You know, look, back in the days when TV3 had the supercars, it was close to $1 million just to pay for the broadcast from Hamilton for the supercars. $1 million. Just ludicrous. That's how much can be spent. A local round, I think they did for between $120,000 and $140,000. That's for a weekend of coverage. I heard years ago a Super Rugby game was about $50,000 or $60,000 to put out. And you've got all the cameras for all the video refs and everything like that. So you can see a lot of money goes into this sort of thing. And it's how long's a piece of string, what you want to put towards it. And that's a big cost. And then you've got to say, the advertisers want to be seen on TV. They don't care about the crowds at the game. But if you haven't got the crowds at the game is hard to watch. Remember in COVID, the empty stadiums? The games were hard to watch because if you don't feel that people are watching and cheering, you don't want to be there. Now, back to netball, they had the best crowds. The days when these players were household names, Lee, the days of the Coke Cup, that was the best netball I think New Zealand had ever seen. It was powerful. And it started with a great product, with players you knew, and it was exciting. But yes, the world has changed now. We have all the women's sport there. Everything's there. Everyone's fighting for it. And it's a race to the bottom with getting it out there. And if you've got the backing, you can afford to put it there. And the best sport often won't win. But, you know, what's interesting too, we've seen Sky don't have every sport now. MotoGP and NASCAR are live on 3 now on demand. You know, that's where it is. TVNZ have got sports on demand. The sports just want to be seen because that's part of the deal with their global sponsors. That side of it's just amazing. But, you know, back to the other thing you were saying, Lee, with the netball, and I touched on it then, there was a time where these players were household names, and it would be a real shame if they can't get that back and have it. So everyone cared about Belinda Collins and Leslie Nicol, and I know I'm hiking back, Bernice Meany, Dean Harper. Remember those days, Lee?
Yeah, I think your analogy around the department store is absolutely spot on. And I think what used to happen was Sky were very dictatorial, and you would beg Sky to put your sport on.
Oh, yeah.
Sky. It was literally you're begging it. And a lot of sports got shafted in that. This has changed. I mean, technology has changed the game where you can go to anybody you like now and any platform you like and pretty much go to YouTube and broadcast. Like, there is no limit on what you can do. And I think, again, to use your analogy of the department store, Sky are also now realised, not surprisingly, we can't dominate sport. We can't have every sport. I mean, I can't remember what I was watching the other day, but I think it was on Netflix or I was on Prime or something, and I might have even been Apple. And anyway, up popped like four or five games of that afternoon of NBA, NHL, all of these American sports that I could watch whenever I wanted to, just sitting across the screen. So the way that we consume it is different. So what that's meant is that Sky have gone, actually, in our department store, not dissimilar to Smith & Coe's, we can't have a massive department store. We can have a department store, but we've got to be very careful about the products that we stock. They have to drive consumers, and in Sky's case, they've got to drive audience because they are in the subscription model. They are in a model that, sure, they get advertising, but they have to hold their subscription base or they're toast. If netball's numbers...
And we're a little country, Lee. We're a small country. I've got the Disney... Disney owns ESPN, mate. All the
Disney now. Yeah, it might have been Disney, yeah. I was watching. Yeah, as I was being on Papa Duty. But my point being that if netball's numbers don't hook up, Sky just go, no, thanks, we're out. Well, where do they go? So now they're going to have to look at, okay, who do we partner with? And
And unless it's going to be, and that's why I said before, you know, it's a, unfortunately for netball, it's this domino effect, because to Sean's point before, what you need is the eyeballs on TV, which drives your commercial revenue. If you don't have the eyeballs or you don't have a TV partner, your commercial properties, they wouldn't halve. They would drop. They'd drop through the floor, because commercial partners want eyeballs on uniforms. They want eyeballs on signage, LED signage. They want all of that kind of product. If that's no longer available, the bottom line is you're dead. You're toast. You've got nowhere to go.
Okay, we'll move on quickly, Lee. Great drama Monday. What a spectacle, and what great drama it was on Monday afternoon, mid-morning with the Masters.
Yeah, well, it was unbelievable. I felt quite emotional at the end of it with Rory McIlroy. We haven't got a horse in the race here. It's not like we've got Lydia Ko or a Ryan Fox or a Michael Campbell. We've got no one, but you just couldn't. You couldn't script that any better. I mean, Justin Rose is just one of life's top blokes. It looked like when it didn't at the beginning of the day, it was going to be DeChambeau and Rory, but then he fell away. And then, you know, a four-shot lead coming into the final nine. Rose was kind of chipping away. And then that, you know, that double at 13 where he just played a lead piper shot straight into the water. But then a brilliant recovery for an eagle putt, which he missed. And then coming up 18, you know, he had such a good tee shot. You're like, look, just anywhere on the green, boom, into the bunker. Suddenly you're in a playoff. Rose hits the shot of his life, and then McIlroy just smokes it. But it was, I think what we all loved about it was the raw emotion. But when he dropped to his knees, you must have, I could just feel how, the relief, but how much pressure that guy must have been on in that moment, and how he must have been just trying to hold it together. It's like grief, you know, you're just trying to hold it together, and then that wave of grief comes over you. And I think that's what we saw with him. And then, you know, Rose was particularly gracious in defeat beyond some, and even DeChambeau as well. So it wasn't only golf. I think it was sport theatre, you know, at its best, and massively gripping. It was very emotional.
Okay, Sean, your thoughts, and you lead it out.
Oh, mate, that was just magic. It Lee summed it up completely. You know, you can have all the money in the world, like Rory, and during his drought, he's been struggling to pay his mortgage, but it shows you what actually matters. And I thought it was just magic. It was everything that's good about sport, and there's no greater soap opera than sport. And, you know, it's good to see. Like the Crusaders, the cream eventually rises.
Your cream happens to be an Australian, by the way.
Yeah, well, nothing's wrong with Aussies. Nothing is wrong with that, Piper. Just remember it. You know, this is why we have Anzac Day. And initially, you know, when we looked at that, that was just perfect drama, guys. We've got less than a minute. What's your weekend plan for the weekend, Sean?
Hoping like hell that you know, there is a sort of resurrection of sorry, I'm showing a left footer of Liam Lawson this weekend.
Okay, Piper, what's your Easter weekend?
I'm hoping the Highlanders can upset the Chiefs tonight in Hamilton, because we've got those dirty, filthy Crusaders next week down under the roof in Dunedin. So that would set that up. So that's the hope there.
Well, on that note, chaps, I have to say it's always wonderful having both of you together, because you not only do you provide, you really get... People really love it, because you're both very, very knowledgeable. That includes you, Lee, and plus you're both very entertaining.
Thanks very much. All right.
Have a great Easter.
Chat, Shauna. See you, mate.
Bye, Lee. Bye, Lee. Bye.